Welcome to another PI World podcast. This is an audio-only version offered as another way to enjoy our great content. A full video version can be seen on piworld.co.uk, where you can find many more videos of interest to investors.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Codemasters maiden half-year results. Very excited to have you around and thank you for coming. So we've announced a few days ago our results. As you know, we've achieved our two most important KPIs that we were meant to deliver. So we've achieved our top-line revenue and adjusted EBITDA. We'll talk to the numbers in a minute in more details. And we also want to talk to you about H2 and how we believe we're going to deliver the numbers as well. So some of the key highlights are we've launched two games during the first half, Onrush and Formula One. And of course, we've got our back catalogue. We've achieved £39.7 million with a gross margin of 88.5%, which, as you could see in the chart here, is better than the margin we had last year, and we'll explain to you why in a minute. For the first time in our history, our digital business has taken over our box business, and we've achieved 53.4% of digital sales. Our adjusted EBITDA is £10 million. Our earnings per share is 7.1p, unfortunately not pounds. And we have almost 17 million of cash at the end of September. We had the IPO completed 1st of June this year, raised 15 million of new fundings, which we are using to inject into our business and improve our games and our technology. And as I said earlier, we launched Onrush at the beginning of the, just after the IPO on the 5th of June, and Formula One launched in August more recently. It was in 24th of August. So briefly on H1 in terms of what happened to each of the games that we launched. Formula One, we reached number one in 11 countries. The key countries you would think, and it is the case, Formula One is very strong in Europe. So you can imagine that a lot of these countries are European. It was, again, a very highly rated game. It got the highest rating that you get on PlayStation for any racing game this year. We've added a number of content, a lot of content to the game because you need to engage your consumers. So every year you have to bring new things. Some of it come from the sport itself. So this year, for instance, we had two new circuits. Some of it come from the game features themselves. So it's very important. We added classic cars. And as you'll probably know by now, we have done for the second year in a row our esports tournament that we're doing for Formula One, with this year even more excitement than last year, as each pro team have got their own team participating. So that's very exciting for us. Onrush came out just after our IPO. It's a new IP and it's an arcade genre, so a new genre for us, although the team that we acquired from Sony had done this type of game before. We had good reviews with a 76% on PlayStation 4. And the game is the first game that we've launched with microtransactions. We'll talk about game as a service later and microtransactions, as it's a very important part of our business going forward. And indeed, we had an agreement with a Chinese company called Subo, who are going to release the game in January or February next year, i.e. in a few months. And that guaranteed us a minimum guarantee, which was obviously very helpful. We'll come in a minute into the numbers themselves, but the other part of our business for the first half, in addition to new launches, are games that we launched last year but are still selling this year. So we call this back catalogue. And it's a very important part of the business. It's one of the reasons why our business is becoming more and more predictable. And it's one of our reasons why we are a portfolio company. We don't depend on any one game in any one year. Of course, we run almost a channel And it's really important to understand this because that's what's bringing that predictability in a way that very few companies can do. So back catalog has been extremely strong this year. And it is also driving a lot of margin because most of the back catalog is digital. So the reason our margin are going up so much and digital is growing so quickly is A, because the market is moving the direction, so it's a consumer trend, but also because our back catalog getting stronger and stronger, it makes our proportion of digital higher than it used to be in the past. Now we expect that trend to be the same for the second half. We expect to achieve about the same number, and we expect the trend in the future to continue as digital continues to overperform versus box business. Rashid,
okay,
you're on.
So in terms of financials, so I just wanted to give you the highlights in terms of H1. But before I talk about the H1 numbers, on this particular slide here on page 6, I wanted to give you a brief introduction in terms of how the business has improved over the last 3 or 4 years. So as you will see, back in 16, we had 31 million of revenue and 3 million in terms of our EBITDA. In the half alone for H1 2019, we have posted 39.7 million in terms of revenue and 10 million in terms of adjusted EBITDA. And that's really a testament to the quality of the products. And also the improvement overall, as Frank has mentioned, in terms of our digital share of the market, which has contributed to the bottom line number. And as a management team and as a board, we feel confident in terms of the analyst estimates for the full year, which is 71.5 million and 16 million in terms of EBITDA. Then if you look across to the right-hand side, you will see since 16, when our margins were 10%, EBITDA to revenue percentage has grown significantly to 25% for the current H1 period. Now, on the next page, which is page 7, first of all, in terms of the comparison to H1 of 18, yes, there has been a revenue reduction. There's been a revenue reduction of nearly 10 million. But the main reason for that is in the period, we only had two releases, as Frank mentioned earlier, which is Onrush and Formula One. Whereas in H1 of 2018, we had three releases, which is Dirt 4, Micro Machines and Formula One. But the good news is in H2 of this year, we've got two more releases. And last year, there were no more releases last year. And the two new releases for H2 is there's a mobile game, which is the F1 mobile game, which has actually now been released. It was released on the 18th of October. And we've got the Dirt Rally game, which is due to be released in February of next year. Now, when you look at the P&L, the other couple of points to note on here, it is showing a loss, which is slightly unfortunate. But however, this is a non-cash item. These are purely accounting entries. So you'll see there's a share-based payment of nearly 6 million, which is contributing to that loss. But in terms of the good news, our margins have improved, as Frank has already mentioned. You know, this year in H1, it's 88.5%. And all of our other cost lines are, broadly speaking, as expected. At the very bottom of this page, you'll see the adjusted EBITDA reconciliation, which takes the operating profit to the adjusted EBITDA of 10 million. And again, the points to note on here, there's the amortization and capitalization. That's the alignment of our development cost. So as a business, we amortize our development cost over a 12-month period post-launch. And then in terms of our capitalization, it really varies, but most of our products, we capitalize over a 2-year development life cycle. The other point I just quickly want to note in terms of our amortization is in H1, we took an impairment of 2.6 million, which was versus our Onrush product, because you may have heard or you may have read, it didn't quite perform to our expectations. Our revenue for H2 is negligible, So just to keep the books clean, we took an impairment of 2.6 million in the period, just to match our revenue. And then, as I've mentioned, there's a share-based payment there of nearly 6 million, which takes you back to the adjusted EBITDA. Over on page 8, balance sheet. Now, personally, I'm very, very pleased with how things are looking on our balance sheet. Now, I've been with the business for nearly 7 years, and there's two key factors on here. Number one is the level of cash that we currently have on the bank, which is 17 million at the end of September. But in terms of shareholder debt, which was restructured pre-IPO, which has resulted in a very clean balance sheet. So in my 7 years at the company, so I'm personally very pleased with the outlook of the balance sheet. Then over on page 9, the cash flow. We are a capital intensive business, the very nature of what we do. We build products over a 2-year period, which is capital intensive. However, we do generate cash. And as I've stated, at the end of the period, that cash balance was 17 million.
We could come back on F1, on H1, sorry, later with your questions, but wanted to take you quickly on why we're confident about H2. We are confident we will achieve our numbers. First of all, Formula 1 18 was launched 5 weeks before the end of the first half, so there will be a material amount of revenue that will be falling into H2. The launch of F1 18, as you know, was successful. It was slightly over our expectation, and this is part of what's helped us make up the gap that we had to fill for Monrush. F1 racing game, as Rashid said, the game launched on iOS on the 18th of October. We've already downloaded over 2 million games on the iOS. The game has been highly rated, very highly reviewed. It's standing at 4.35, which is a very high rating. And it's already monetizing. Very excited about it. It's not going to be a material amount for this year. It's going to be in line with our expectation. And we believe that given the quality of the product and the improvement we're making over the next few months, plus the launch of Android, it could represent a more important revenue for next year. And last but not least, Dirt Rally 2, which is our big game for the second half, big new game, launching in February. We're very confident about Dirt Rally 2. It has been our most successful franchise over the past 5 years. Certainly by far the most profitable as well, because we don't have to pay very heavy royalties on this type of game. The original game has still 200,000 people playing, so it shows after 3 years how much retention we've had and how engaging the game is. We showed the game to the press, revealed it to the press in September. We've had very, very good feedback. Hopefully you guys are able to look at the forums and some of the reviews you could see on YouTube. Early indications are positive, very positive indeed. A few facts I'd like to give you on Dirt, because I think it's important to guide and reassure you. So far, Dirt Rally 1, the original, has delivered £35 million revenue, and it's still selling, so it's a significant number. And another data point which may help you for forecasting your H2 is that Dirt 4, which launched last year, took £18 million revenue in the first 5 weeks. So just wanted to reaffirm why we're confident about H2 to achieve our numbers. Now, obviously, back catalogue is a massive part of the year when it comes to the Christmas season. Black Friday coming soon, Christmas, whatever holiday you celebrate, there is one holiday for everyone at this point. And it's always historically the biggest period in the games industry. So this is not going to be any exception for us, and it will represent a significant amount of revenue for us, which is material. Going forward, And I'm talking about beyond H2 now. We're talking about the strategy of the company and where we are. I think the first point to note is that we're not moving away from racing. As long as the business is growing the way it is and the opportunity ahead of us is so big, we do not see any reason to start into a new segment at any point. I'm not saying it's not going to happen in the future, but the growth is there. We are already very strong in that segment, and rather than trying to diversify too quickly, we want to get even stronger. We have a portfolio of game, as I said earlier, which makes us not just a product a year, it makes us a channel. So if you imagine going forward that there's going to be a lot of new platforms, being a channel is very important. And in fact, I'd like to refer to the NetEase deal that we've signed a few days ago, at least announced a few days ago. I'm not sure how many of you are aware of this deal, so I'll very quickly explain it. We did a deal with NetEase, Chinese publisher, neck and neck with Tencent in terms of size, so a very, very big publisher. And we're delighted to say that they're launching their new PC platform, and they've come to us to take our next three games on PC. They're building their platform into a number of categories, and we are obviously the racing category, and we're delighted about that. So it's a fantastic deal for us. China is a very important market, and being able to partner with the best in the category is a testimony of the quality of our games and the fact that we've got a portfolio. Very excited about that. So we also, obviously, to be able to continue on our racing leadership, we will continue to build more content. It could be from existing games, so we'll need more talent. We may acquire more IP. But again, the important fact here is we are number one in racing, and we continue to be number one and get even stronger. We believe that with the digital business and the channel business, the category can become much bigger and even more profitable. So we want to expand the audience. Obviously, that's key for us. We want to sell more to each of our audiences, and we want to continue to raise our barrier to entry. So more audience, we just talked about more platforms, we talked about NetEase. There will be platforms such as mobile, there will be streaming platform coming soon. I'm sure you've all heard about the Microsoft and Google platform that have been rumored. This is coming hopefully very soon, and it's providing opportunities that we haven't had in the past. Because for those of you who are not aware, streaming is a way where you can actually play our very high quality and big games on any device. So you don't need to have a powerful device anymore, whether it's a mobile, a tablet, or a laptop. You'll be able to get a very high quality game because the whole of the power is in the cloud. So it's no longer in the device, it's in the cloud. And that makes a huge difference. You can access it, again, from your television or laptop, from anywhere, as long as you've got a decent Wi-Fi and you know, as we're talking, it's already working on 4G. You know that 5G is coming very rapidly. So it is not a business that's going to overtake what we do now in 5 minutes, but it is going to be building over time, and actually we believe there will be some first revenue from as soon as next year. Again, the most important thing for us is to be able to talk to probably 2.5 billion consumers instead of currently 300 million. So you can imagine the reach, how much bigger it will become over the years. There is also a possibility of different business models. Until now, we've been selling our games. With mobile, we're doing a free-to-play model where the game is free, but then you can buy in-game item. And there are subscription models coming as well that we're already working with Microsoft and Sony on these models, but there will be more. We anticipate that the variety of business model and channel will increase our audience. So the reason for that is you may be a hardcore rally driver and want to be subscribing to everything rally. So for whatever amount, say £200 a year, you'll get the game, you'll get the added content, you'll get the T-shirt, and you'll whatever you have. Now, you may not be a rally hardcore fan and only want one of the experiences, and we may be able to offer you 15 minutes of gameplay for a pound. So by growing our audience and having different business models, we can target consumers according to what their wishes are. Of course, America and China is key to us. We are today predominantly stronger in Europe and have been for a while. But China and America is important and growing faster. We discussed China with NetEase. America is also an area we're putting emphasis, and together with our partner Formula One, who are very keen on developing their own continent, where Liberty Media, as you know, is American, it's an area that's being pushed very hard. So there will be new circuits. We're hoping that there will be new drivers that are coming from the US, and it's an area that is potentially a lot of upside because it's a very big market, and today our biggest market remains Europe. Increasing engagement is the third prong of our strategy. It's, as far as I'm concerned, is the most important because we already have consumers playing our games. They're already enjoying being with us. And by offering them more content and engaging them further, it is the least risky way, the most predictable way to create more revenue. We all know that acquisition is a lot more expensive than retention. So if you can have consumers and retain them with you longer, it's the most secure way and predictable way to bring more revenue. So we'll be doing that in a number of different ways, but games as a service is our number one priority for next year. And game as a service means that once the game is launched, so we're launching .Rally 2 in February. Once the game is launched, we're going to continue to bring additional content that we'll be selling, which means that content will be all digital, so it's 100% margin, and B, it's likely that the tail and the life cycle of our product will be much longer. So very important to us. Now, talking about the Rally 2, we are actually launching the game in February at two different price points. And the strategy is very simple. We're going to have the regular price point of any AAA quality game at £55, which will launch on the 26th of February. We're going to have a version at £75, £20 more expensive, which will go at 4 days earlier. So that's first advantage to consumers who will be buying the deluxe version. But in addition to being 4 days earlier, we're going to give them 6 months of free content. And the way we cut out our content after the launch of Dirt Rally is by what we call seasons of 3 months. So there'll be four seasons that are already in the pipeline. And we're offering consumers who buy the deluxe version not only 4 days, but two seasons. So two seasons of £12.99 means that they would pay £26. They are going to be only paying £20 if they come early, and they're getting 4 days. That strategy of increased engagement per user is something that we will have from now on every single product of ours. So it is not just a one-off for the rally. We will do it eventually for Formula One. Now, when I'm saying eventually for Formula One, it's not that we're not going to start this year, but there's a lot of licensing issues that need to be ironed out with all the different parties, Formula One, the different drivers, the different cars. So it will take a little bit longer to be in place, but it will happen as well. And that's a significant upside to our revenue. We've seen in the past, based on the industry benchmark, if we do not have any additional content post-launch, in a given year when we launch the game and we realize 100% revenue, we usually get 15 extra the year after. For those who have additional content, the upside could be 50% plus. So there's a big upside, and it's a very profitable upside because it's all digital. And eSport, of course, as you know, we are handling the F1 eSport tournament. It's been extremely successful in terms of viewing. It's creating more awareness to our game. It means more consumers are aware of the game. And down the line, when microtransactions or additional content is going to be on sale inside a game, we know that people who are engaged on esports tend to spend 2 to 3 times more money than regular customers. So a way, again, to engage them and clearly, I don't like saying engage and monetize, but if you're engaged and happy, you get value for money. So we make more money and they are happier. We would not want to make more money if they were not happier. It has to come together. And finally, in terms of our technology, as you know, we've got our own engine called Ego. It's an engine that's proprietary. We've had it for many years. It's improving over the years. Every year there's a game comes out, it gets better. We use the same base engine for all our games, so there's a lot of efficiency. It saves us a lot of money and time. And more importantly, or just as importantly, it creates huge barrier to entries for competition. So being a channel, being specialized on racing, is actually putting us in a situation where we it's very difficult to take us on, and in a market that's growing because of digital and streaming. I think at this point, we'd like to open the floor to questions. You could start any way you want, please.
Really, what happened with the Onrush? What do you see that went wrong?
So Onrush is, first of all, it's nowhere near as bad as what some comments I've seen in the press. The game is a good quality game where we delivered 76% rating. We have a really good partnership in China with Subo, and those who like the game like it a lot. So we've continued to bring content to it, microtransaction. We had 200,000 people playing the game in October alone. So again, it's not like it's a disaster, not at all, but it is just not as high as we were hoping in our numbers. Now, we are still going to keep this IP and expect to, at some point, come back to it, but we're going to put it on hold because we believe that the team that's working on it, working on an existing IP, will have a much more added value.
Does that mean we'll see further impairments coming through?
No.
No. Because this is why we've done it in H1.
Yeah, it's a completely clean position going into H2. And as Frank said, that's the reason why we wanted to tidy up the books. There is a very, very small amount of revenue in H2 for Onrush, and I felt it was the cleanest way to move forward.
How do games companies value their assets as intangibles on the balance sheet? Is there like a basis for...
It's just really straightforward. It's that pure development cost is capitalised and posted onto the balance sheet. So we don't do that over a long period of time. It's only over the development life cycle. So if the product, for example, a mobile game, which has been developed possibly over a 12-month period, it remains as an intangible on the balance sheet for a 12-month period. Our AAA franchises, if it's over a 2-year period, a 3-year period, it only remains as an intangible over that period.
So how do you decide the quantum of the provision that's made if it doesn't go to your plan? What's the basis for the impairment?
Yeah, so in terms of the impairment, for example, if we have a product development of 12 million, 12 to 13 million, we will normally try and match that versus the revenue that we're going to generate and release that over a 12-month period. But if we know that our revenue stream is going to be very low, that's a basis for my impairment, because I can't match that against future revenue, and therefore I'm writing it off.
Could I ask, you've launched F1 Mobile, and it's a traditionally very hard area to monetize. What's your plans for F1 Mobile monetization now you're getting the headcount?
Yeah. So it's already monetizing, point number one, and it's generating revenue, and from day one it has. So it's not like a plan to monetize in the future. The plan is to increase the monetization. So straight off the bat, the game is a free-to-play game like you see it on 99% of the... Yeah, so straight away you'll know that we monetize about the model in general for free to play is that you monetize with in-game transaction to a small percentage of the overall population. It varies depending on the game between 1 and 5%. The more hardcore the game, the higher the percentage. And for those, you do not monetize through microtransaction, you monetize them through advertising. In our case, so far, what we've seen is that in-game transaction represents 90% of that revenue, which is the norm. Some games vary, but 90-10 is what we're expecting. And what we're seeing as well as a good quality game, highly rated, as I mentioned, is that the KPI that we monitor very closely, so day one retention, day seven, day 14, how many people play, how long do they play, at what time do they play, where do they leave the game, why do... This is what we're using, a huge amount of data, to bring updates, usually every month. And what we've done in the past 3 months, because it was in soft launch before, as we see the improvement, we're seeing our KPI getting better. So we're quite excited because, again, although it's not a material amount of money for this year, the KPI are good and are going the right direction. This is why I was telling you earlier that I'm hoping, I feel confident next year it'll be actually a profitable product. And for many years, because if you think about it, you spend money at the beginning to build a game, but when it comes to 19, you already have the game. What you do is put the 19 colors and the new cars. And so the amount of money you spend to maintain it is a lot lower than the amount of money you spend up front. And the key of to succeed on mobile is to have what we call a lifetime value of a consumer higher than the cost of acquiring that very consumer. Right now, I'm pleased to say that we've already got 3 territories, and they're the most important territories, where our lifetime value is already higher than our cost. And that's fair also because the cost of acquisition of Formula One is much cheaper than the cost of acquisition of a game that's unknown. When you've got a brand and you have a name like Formula One, you would imagine that it's easier for consumers to come to it than if your game was schmoldu and didn't have a brand and was unknown. So we're lucky that our threshold of profitability because of the brand is actually lower than a non-branded product. And as I said, we've achieved that already on 3 big territories, including North America, so it's not too shabby. And as soon as we continue to improve, we'll see that gap growing. So the profit per paid consumer will increase. When we see that profit at the level that we want it, at that point you advertise. You put a lot of money because you know your ROI. You're secure, you know what you're putting your money for. What you can't do on mobile is throw a lot of money out there and hope that it's going to work. The whole point is having all these data that gives you reassurance of where you invest, which consumers, and even when you target America, you may find that the game does better in big cities than it does in rural areas. So we're able to go so deep in our data, and as soon as we've got all that data absolutely certified over a number of months, that's where you put the pedal, well, the foot on the pedal to accelerate.
In China, Subor is taking the Onrush game, right?
Yes, they have.
Does it have responsibility at any other games, and who how otherwise do you service China?
So we have a deal that we had Dirt 4 with Tencent.
Right.
We have now 3 games, as we mentioned, with NetEase. But NetEase will not just launch a game on their own platform. They're the publisher, so they may go on all platforms. And all our games are actually in China through Steam. So when we sell on Steam, a lot of Chinese players access Steam, even though it's in English and it's outside of China, through VPN. So it's already a decent business. Yeah. But it's clearly single digit and still not where we'd like it to be. So if our partners are the one we have now and they are successful with our games, It's an interesting opportunity, which, by the way, we would not forecast for next year because we won't forecast it until we know what it actually does. So it's not in our numbers for next year.
Frank, Rashid, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
PI World videos and podcasts are for general information and interest. They do not constitute any kind of recommendation or inducement to buy shares of any company. PI World is not offering any kind of financial advice, and nothing in our material should be taken as such.